Hey man, the blind man saw it all. I don't know if you heard in the chorus of that I was listening to, there were four miracles. The mute man was talking. The deaf girl was listening. The lame cripple was running and the blind man was seeing. Amen. That describes our powerful Lord and Savior. He is Lord over all. This morning, as we come to God's Word, I want to ask you to take your copy of God's Word and open to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 10, as we're looking at Jesus healing Bartimaeus, the blind man. And we're going to see in here, I want us to step back and take the overview look, and then I want us to come in and see maybe what we would call the story behind the story. If you would stand with me this morning as we read from Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage. Stand up, he's calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Father God, today I am thankful that we have a copy of your word. Father, I'm thankful that, Lord, your word is true, it is living, it is active, it was true when it was written, it is true today, it will be true forever. Lord, the message that your word said then is the same message as it is today because it's your word and you don't change. And Father God, I just pray that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear from you. And Lord, that you would speak to us. Your servants are listening. Father God, speak through me, for I'm your mouthpiece this morning. And Lord God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son. You may be seated. What a wonderful story we have here. The story is actually told of Bartimaeus receiving his sight in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I'm sure if you go home today, and you might hear me say to some of this as we look at some of these others, remember I tell you Scripture interprets Scripture. We can look at all three of these Gospels and receive the message from different viewpoints. There are some who will say the Bible contradicts itself. And what do we know about that? But that is a bunch of what? Baloney. But if you don't understand, you don't look, you don't dig deep into it, you don't understand. For if you look in the Gospel of Matthew, of the account of Bartimaeus, you're going to see that there were two men that were by the road that were both blind and needing to be seen. Well, why does Mark and Luke say one? Well, most likely they're focusing on the one who was louder. If there's two men there, guess what? There's one as well, right? And also, you will read in Matthew and Mark that it talks about as Jesus was leaving, and Luke talks about as he entered the city. Some say, there's a contradiction, you can't believe it. Well, as again I told you, that's a bunch of baloney, right? There are two Jerichos, and they are just right there close together. There's one that's the old one that's kind of dilapidated, and then there's a new one that the king had built for himself to be a palace for him to go to. So most likely what is happening as Jesus is leaving one Jericho, as it says here, then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving, so he's leaving one, coming into the other, and in the midst is where we get this wonderful story of the power of Jesus as he comes to heal the blind man. What we need to understand, I find amazing with this, is that as busy as Jesus was, he found time to stop for someone in need. What's going on here? Where is Jesus going? Jesus is making his way down to Jerusalem. And we find out, if you continue reading past today's section, that Jesus is on his way for what we call the triumphal entry. Jesus is in Jericho when this story happens. That's about 15 miles north of Jerusalem. But Jesus is going to perform his last miracle. Jesus is on his way to be crucified, and he knows that. And yet he stops, knowing that he's fixing to receive the greatest entry of all, what we celebrate on Palm Sunday where they're singing Hosanna. He's headed, he's leading up to all this, but there's a man who calls out in need, and Jesus stops and heals him. We find out that the man's name is Bartimaeus. That tells us a lot, and let me fill you in on this. You know, I like to give y'all some little tidbits, some history. Bartimaeus is the only person in Scripture who is named with a healing taking place. It's got a special name. Bar is Aramaic for son of, and then the Greek Timaeus. So here Matthew's giving us both. He says Bartimaeus, which means son of, and he describes that son of Timaeus right there in that first verse. And we begin seeing that Mark is writing to a Greek group of people. Bartimaeus is Greek. He has an Aramaic Greek name put together. He's not a Jew. There's only one other person named in Scripture about a miracle physically happening to them, and it's just in a pass-by talking about Mary Magdalene. It tells us that Mary Magdalene had 7 demons cast out, but she's not there present with her name when it happens like Bartimaeus is. Some believe Bartimaeus' name is in there because maybe he was the latter one, but most likely, as we see at the end, he became a disciple and a follower of Christ, and they would have known him and remembered that name. He calls as Jesus is walking through. It says that he heard. We know in the other scripture that he asked, what's going on? He could tell there was a commotion, and they said that it was Jesus of Nazareth. But look at what he says. He cries out. He began to cry out, verse 47, Jesus, son of David. It's very important that we pick up on that. Son of David is what's known as a messianic title. This is a title leading and pointing to Christ as Messiah that the Jews would have known. It talks about in the Old Testament that the kingdom established through David. So Bartimaeus isn't just saying, oh, hey, Jesus, come here. He is honoring, he is acknowledging Christ as the Messiah, the one who is going to come and to fulfill the covenant promise and make the new covenant with God's people. That's very important. We'll pick up on that in just a little bit. And he doesn't just stop there. They tell him to be quiet. Why are they telling him that? Several ideas are out there. Maybe he's just becoming a nuisance. You know, just a blind beggar who is now a low-class society because they can't work, sitting on the road. Jesus is coming through. Everybody wants to see it, and he's yelling out over the crowd. Maybe it's because he's a second-class citizen being a blind man. We don't know exactly, but it tells us that they sternly was just, would you shut up? Be quiet. Get off to the side. But that didn't do it for him. What did he do? He got louder. He begins to yell more, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stops because he heard that name. He heard that confession of who he was, and he asks him, what do you want? And he says, I want to regain my sight. Jesus tells him that his faith has healed him. Maybe his faith has saved him, your translation may say. Or maybe your faith has made you whole. And immediately he moves on and begins to follow Jesus. It tells us in Matthew that Jesus had compassion on them. Look at Matthew. It's there on the screen for you. The ending of the Matthew account said, "Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him." It's funny, again, that word Rabboni, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. You know, there's one other person in Scripture that is quoted saying Rabboni. Mary Magdalene. Look at it. Twice she pops up here. When Jesus is resurrected out of the tomb, she goes there and she thinks that he's the gardener and she's looking for him. And he calls her. She calls out to him as Rabboni. Only two times that we see this. What a powerful name that we're going to begin to look at. Now I want us today, that's the big broad overview. It's a story that's been told through history, the story that's in Scripture. But we know that when God's Word speaks, it speaks to us today. And I want us to look at this story beyond just the fact that Bartimaeus receives his sight again, because there's so much here. You see, the cry of the blind man, there's a lot there. And the first cry, I believe, that we see of this blind man is the cry for the Messiah. He's not just crying for anyone, he's the cry for Messiah, verse 47. "And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" He's making a testimony. He's making a proclamation of what's in his heart. Remember, I told you he was not a Jew. This messianic title is what the Jews would have used for the one who was going to be the Messiah. And so far to this day, a lot of your Jews that are still living over there are still waiting for this one to come. But we know that Jesus is the Messiah, amen? And he is proclaiming that now. And it's very important for a believer to claim who Jesus Christ is. He is our Messiah. He is our Savior. Jesus was making his way for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem so that he could be led to the cross and become our Messiah, shed his blood to establish the new covenant for us that all may come to him. And here he is, the last miracle before he enters in Jerusalem is happening by one who is professing and claiming out of his knowledge and out of his heart who Jesus is. He is the Messiah. The blind man has a cry for Messiah. Not only that, we see secondly that there is a cry of desperation. A cry of desperation. Look at verse 48. "Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" It wasn't just, I'm sure, the traditional beggar standing there with his can. "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David," you know, you see it, walk through some of these big cities, people on the side of the road, you know, "give me some alms, give me some money." No, he knew in his heart who this was. This was Jesus the Messiah. And he's called out to him, and those around him are telling him to stop. Well, he's in desperation because of his testimony of who Jesus is. He knows that Jesus can heal him and that Jesus is the only one. And out of that desperation, he cries out all the more. It says there, "Son of David, have mercy." I can just hear his voice getting louder and louder. And over all the crowd and all the commotion and the hoopla that's going on, Jesus hears, "Son of David." And he hears it from a heart of desperation. And Jesus stops, it tells us. And he says to bring him here. Verse 50 says, "Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus." He got rid of any hindrance in his life. His cloak would have been very important to the blind man and to the rest of people. His cloak would have kept him warm. His cloak most likely was all something that he would maybe sit on and put out in front of him so that people could put their alms, because being blind he couldn't work. He wanted nothing at all to hinder his relationship of coming to Christ. He wanted nothing to hinder. Out of his desperation, he threw his cloak aside and he runs to Jesus as he got up there. And it tells us there that he came with nothing there. And then we see, thirdly, the cry of surrender. Look at verse 51. "And answering him, Jesus said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, I want to regain my sight.'" The question that Jesus asked, I believe the way is worded here, is not by happen chance. "What do you want me to do for you?" Just a few verses before that, over in Mark 10, the same chapter, verse 36, we see, "And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" Same question. Two totally different scenarios. James and John are asking Jesus that they may sit at his right and his left. "Father, uplift us. Make us prominent, Lord. Let us sit at your right hand." But you know what really caught me in studying this is looking at this in context. Just before, not a few days, not a few hours, in the same walk, Jesus making his way to Jerusalem, Jesus is with his disciples and he's pulled them aside, his 12, just his intimate ones, and he began sharing his heart. Jesus began telling them, "I'm headed to Jerusalem. When I get to Jerusalem, my own people are going to betray me. They're going to beat me. I'm going to be killed and put up on a cross. I'm going to die. Then I'm going to come out of the grave again." Jesus' heart is being poured out, talking about his death and the suffering that he's fixing to have. And these two knuckleheads, "Hey God, will you do for us, Jesus, whatever we ask for you?" And he says, "Well, what do you want me to do for you? Let me sit at your right and your..." I mean, these guys had no clue what was going on. I think if Jesus was telling me that, I would maybe be thinking something of, "Oh no, Jesus, we hope not." Something, not lift me up. Make me prominent. Make everybody be able to see me. Do you see the difference in the two questions? Jesus asked James and John, they want to sit on his right and left. They want to be exalted. Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do?" "Jesus, I just want to see again." I believe he's wanting to see more than just with the eyes. And it says, "And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, I want to regain my sight.'" Many of you have heard the word rabbi before, but Rabboni is my Lord or my master. It's personal. He is surrendering to Jesus when he says, "My Lord and my Master. I believe in you. You are the Messiah. You are the one coming. I want to regain my sight." Verse 52, "And Jesus said to him, 'Go, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he regained his sight and began following him." In the account in Luke 18, it says that because they saw what happened, that the people began to praise him. You see, when Jesus does miracles, I want you sometime, if you ever have time, go through. You can look it up on the internet a little bit. Let it help you find all the miracles of Jesus. You will never see a miracle that Jesus did for himself. He clothed over his glory. He came here, he performed miracles, but it was for the purpose of pointing people to God, stepping into individual lives. He performs this miracle of healing and people regaining sight, and those around him praised him. But it says, "Your faith has made you well." What is he talking about? There's two things happening here. His faith, believing that Jesus can do what Jesus says he can do, believing that Jesus can heal. His faith has healed him, and he has regained his sight. But it goes a step below that. Because of his faith and his profession in who Jesus Christ was, he was saved. We have both happening, a healing of the physical and a healing on the inside. And what happened immediately following that is he followed Christ. He became a disciple of Christ. You see, there's people all in this world today that have a need. And they need to see. But it's more than seeing with their physical eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Actually, 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in 3. And even our gospel is veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world, little g, that's being Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. At the moment that Bartimaeus received his sight physically, he received his sight and he could see the light of who the Messiah was. This is the exact steps that it takes to be a follower, a disciple of Christ. There must be that cry out for the Messiah. And in this day and time, it can't just be a puny cry out. I believe it requires that cry of a dependence, that cry of seeking after him, that desperation. You see, when blinders begin to become removed and we see ourselves in light of a holy God, we understand that we're desperate for what he has. And he is the only one who can fulfill that desperation. And then we must surrender to him. And when we surrender to him, hallelujah, all changes. There's a difference in our life. Bartimaeus could see. There was a difference in Bartimaeus's heart. There's a difference in the life of the follower. People can see that they act different. Just as Bartimaeus, they could tell that he could see and was walking. When we surrender to Christ, people see a difference in us. And we begin to see a difference because we begin to see the light of who he is. So while it might be titled in your scripture, Bartimaeus receives his sight, which is what happened, the story is you see one coming to Christ and becoming a follower and a disciple. And how to do that? And he follows Christ right to the crucifixion. May you bow your heads. Father God, I give you glory and I give you honor. Father, you use the world around Bartimaeus and his physical situation of not being able to be seen, see, and you change that. But Father, we can tell that on the inside that there was a change. Lord, he might not have had physical sight in the beginning, but he had sight in his heart to know who your son was. Father, I pray if there's one here today, Lord, that doesn't know you, that, Lord, today would be the day that the blinders would be removed. They would call out to you as Messiah. They would call out in desperation. And, Father, just as Bartimaeus did, may they remove any hindrance that they may surrender to you. Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.